then it went like a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Never Been a Better Podcast. Alex Navarro, the slowly time lapse, like disappearing of your room is amazing. The inverse relationship to the echo is also people will be able to map this
out. What echo? What are you talking about? What? I'm talking perfectly normal.
It's pretty close to being in an empty room. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know the goal is to get the room empty, so yes. Congratulations on that.
Yes, literally hours ago, as of the time we were recording this, we were recording with Abby, and there was a bookshelf back there, and now it is just not there anymore.
It's pretty amazing to just, like, somebody should time-lapse just shots of you as stuff disappears from your wall. Austin Walker.
Hello.
I feel like you've got more in your room. You've got, like, sound-baffling now over stuff.
I maybe had that last time. I don't know, I might have more of it up now.
Googly eyes in your kitchen?
That's googly eyes. No, what? Are there googly eyes?
Move your head over.
No, I think that's a
lamp.
Oh, no,
what
I see. Nobody else can see it, but is that like a box of flour? That's the back of a
cereal box.
That has googly eyes on it.
What if I did just have... Oh, yeah, that's my googly eye collection. What if I was like, you have to cut that? You can't tell people.
No one can know
about my googly eye collection.
Can we stop? Can we just stop?
Can we just go back? Can I get a fresh throw? Can you just throw to me again? I'll come back in.
What's definitely not up with the googly eyes? No, I see it. It's over your breaker box.
Because that reflects sound really badly. So I got to put some baffling up on that.
You sound good though.
Yeah, it sounds all right.
Good to see you. Abby Russell.
That's me.
It's like nice and bright in your place today. I love it. It looks very inviting.
June gloom is over. It's sunny.
Goodbye, June gloom.
I've cleaned today. I cleaned my floors. And also, I think we've podcasted since then, but they redid my floors from the warping. So that's why they're so shiny, which reflects the light even more, I think.
Yeah.
How much of a redo of the floors did they do? Did they like pull up
sanded down the warped parts and they refinished the whole thing. So I had to like move all my furniture to one side for a day, move it back.
Did it stink?
It did stink. Yeah. I couldn't live here. Everything was covered in plastic.
Yeah. But now the floors look great, so.
Yeah, there's some patchy parts and some parts where I can see where he set down the varnish can, but you know what?
Like a ring?
A floor is a floor. I'll take it.
You cover those up with like an end table or a rug.
Yeah.
You just make sure you take a picture of that.
You can kind of
see the dull spot. I do see the dull spot. I wasn't going to say anything.
Hey, look.
Just missed a spot right there, but that's fine.
Did they fix your ceiling as well?
Ceiling is fixed.
I love it.
The roof appears to be fixed. We'll see once the next heavy rain comes. Yes, but don't worry. Still in dispute about other things.
There's always something.
No.
That's renting. The nice thing about renting is you're like, listen, the floor is falling apart. You have to fix it legally.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing is they can be like, yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah. You're on the list.
We're going to make it as hard as possible for us to legally fix this, or we're going to do a really shoddy job 4 times until eventually we do it right.
Mm-hmm. I need to come into your apartment. The guy is only available from 2 to 3:30 a.m. Come in and take a look at that. Plus,
we'll just let ourselves in. Don't worry about it.
If you should just leave the door unlocked and some food out, that would be awesome. And do you have
cookies
Netflix?
And milk, ideally.
Do you have a Max subscription? Great. No, this is good. This is all good.
I
was going to say, just take a sledgehammer to one of the random walls and then call them and be like, what the fuck, guys? There's just a giant hole in this fucking wall.
A man just burst out of this wall. He was made of Kool-Aid.
Like, you guys really got a problem here.
I mean, the problem is I don't need to do that for there to be holes in the wall.
Oh, boy.
Sorry there.
Yeah, that's fine. They did just install, like, water meters, like readers on all of the faucets to read how much water is coming out of each of them.
Wait, do you not get free water? Not free, but it's something like, you know, it doesn't
get included
in your
rent. So they pay for the water. So I don't know if they're going to start charging for people who use too much water or what the deal is now. And they also did it while I told my super, I was like, I'm going to be gone in the morning, but I'll be back the rest of the day. And they did it in the morning while I was gone.
Did they tell you where they're coming in?
No, not really. Like, they said on the form, like, we're doing these either way, but it wasn't necessarily like, okay, we'll do it that morning. It was,
I can't,
what it is.
Remember, in New York City apartments, in New York apartments, do you get charged the water or is it included with the rent usually? I know heat is.
I don't think it's usually included with the rent, even in LA, just as with my specific apartment building. In New York, I
don't remember paying for water.
I paid for heat and electricity.
Wait, you paid for heat? I thought heat was included.
Well, it depends on if you have central heating, you're paying for that, probably. If you just have, like, a radiator that's, like, if you can control your heat in New York, you should not, you should be paying for it. If you can't turn off the heat, then you should be paying for it.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I did have, I don't remember what I was paying, I guess. I had a couple utility bills, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely always had electricity. Maybe I don't remember water, if they had separate water meters for the apartment. I don't know. Renting is, I don't know if it's gotten any worse or better. I'm going to assume it's just everything, like everything. It probably just got worse.
It has not gotten better. I can tell you right now. they have been trying to rent out this place. We have had people come by. They apparently had someone who was going to sign, and then they backed out at the last minute. Also, we got word that they are going to raise the rent on this place by about $600 for whoever is next.
Decent.
Do you think it's worth it?
No, especially if they're not going to renovate this place at all because it needs some work.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So all this in your head, Alex, have you already talked this to death? Have you already talked to death the like moving out of the rental market into the house market and all that holds for you in the future?
I wouldn't say I've talked it to death. It has definitely been the only thing on my mind for, let's say, the last couple of months. But believe me, I am the one thing I am definitively thrilled about is the idea of no longer renting.
Yeah.
I mean, that and also having more space. But the part where I am no longer paying a landlord, that's aces.
Playing your drums. Now you just pay taxes, which is, yes. Hey, look.
And a mortgage.
And a mortgage forever. It's fine. It's okay.
That's only 15
just until
years.
You die.
That's right.
It's fine.
Everybody's got three mortgages. It's fine.
This is not me going out there and evangelizing and saying, "Oh, everyone needs to do this." You know, I understand it's people buying property these days. It's not a given by any stretch. And you know, look, I'm a 41-year-old man. I did not start making enough money to even think about doing this until fairly recently in my life, and I still needed help from my parents. So let me tell you right now, it ain't easy. I get it. And I feel extraordinarily lucky that we were able to pull this off.
We could always just move, you know, let's move somewhere in the Midwest where we got to do that thing where we get a good job in like San Francisco or something, then move to the Midwest and then like live like kings on
a small
ranch.
City that has that still has fiber, so you still have the internet.
That's the only thing.
But
that
also, you can
sure.
see the stars again.
Exactly. Somewhere inland where the you know the sea levels won't get us. It'll be fine. It'll be
you'll be seeing stars when the tornado rolls through and pull in. you're flying all over the damn place.
It's hard to live anywhere, man.
I know. There's nowhere that's good.
You see all the stuff happening in like the Southwest and Texas and stuff where the heat is like bananas
right now?
The heat
dome, you mean?
The heat dome.
Oh, man. Is that what they're calling it? A heat dome?
It's like 110 some places.
Oh, my gosh.
My friend in Arizona was texting me about that today, and he was like, some people want to eat. He saw people like eating outside, and like servers were refusing to serve them. And it was like, why do you want to eat outside?
Why?
It's 110 degrees.
Because I want to make you suffer. I hate my life, and I want you to suffer as well. Serve me a taco outside. Thank you.
I want it hot.
Just what do you want? I want pizza. I just want hot pizza
hot
right
chocolate.
Now.
Give me a bowl of hot stew.
Mother's dinner must be piping hot.
Oh, s'mores. We're making s'mores in the sun. Can I go back to something entirely different that I can't shake?
By all means.
Yes, please. Shake it.
Alex, you mentioned the Kool-Aid man.
Yes.
Who is a big pitcher of Kool-Aid.
He is
a man.
And also a man.
And what's he do? He smashes through.
He crashes through walls and says, oh, yeah.
Why doesn't he break when he hits the wall? He's made of glass. And then the second sub thought I had was, in a world where there are other real Kool-Aid people, do you think parents have to tell their kids not to do that for fear that they smash themselves against brick walls trying to do what the Kool-Aid man does? The way that parents in our world have to tell kids, like, you're not Superman. You can't jump off the second floor landing and try to fly. I just have this image of crashing against the wall and then the juice just... it's
hard.
Just like weird Fox News report or something. Like, you won't believe what kids are doing, smashing themselves against walls. The hottest TikTok sensation crashing through walls.
There's like a whole Red Asphalt style like series of exactly. like instructional videos about not doing this. You know, don't be a dope. Don't fucking crash through walls.
Well, again, my point being, in real life, the Kool-Aid Man yeah. couldn't get through the wall.
Well, okay, so here's what yeah. I was formulating here, is that you got to figure that dude is probably a solid 260 to 300 pounds of glass. Mm. Like, that is a right. big, easy. Thick glass
easy.
Thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, if you launched a 300-pound glass object through know. Drywall... I think the glass
but
would win.
But he's coming out through the wall. He's coming out through the exterior of the house, man. He's got like brick he's getting through. He's getting through a
Do
lot of stuff.
Do we know he's glass? I kind of figured he was like an alien born that way. So oh. it's like he's got arms and legs, so it's not like he was forged.
What if he's like military oh. grade ceramic?
Okay. Okay.
I do like, think the military is involved.
I do
say
too.
That.
Oh yeah.
I'm certain.
Is he one of those like
oh man, I've got some literature you should read about this. Lyndon LaRouche has some ideas about where Kool-Aid Man came from.
Yeah, no, I think he's made of sterner stuff. I also think in a world where other Kool-Aid people live, he sucks. He's like he sucks, and he's like
he's
dude.
Like the Bam Margera of the Kool-Aid
yeah,
people.
Exactly. Like he's like, oh man, film this. Get your cameras out, film this. He's like, and he just crashes through a wall, and people are like, I don't want you hanging out with that Kool-Aid Man anymore. Like, he just fucking crashes.
He's just a bad influence.
Stop telling human kids to drink our juice.
Did you know he didn't used to have arms and legs?
Wait,
what?
How did he?
Why is
that an image? I'll describe it. This is Kool-Aid Man through the years. He started as just a little pitcher with a face on it in 1954. And then in 1956, they drew little stick figure arms and legs on.
That's cute.
And then 20 years goes by. It's 1975, and he has kind of muscular arm. He kind of looks
he's
like a marble.
Thick. He's thick. He also is holding a smaller pitcher of Kool-Aid. My favorite part is when they give him clothes for like 5 years, and then they make him naked again.
Yeah, wait, get those out of here.
Wait, so it was the 1970s when they made him super jacked?
That is exactly right.
You know what else came out in the 1970s? The $6 million man.
Oh.
Is this a $6 million Kool-Aid Man?
I think so. The military is involved.
Did they
in the
rebuild
creation.
Him?
They rebuilt him.
They look made him little, stronger.
Look at his little stick figure arms and legs. They had to have rebuilt him.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, that one with the stick figure arms and legs looks like some marketing person just fucking quit and was like,
was just "Oh yeah, you like, want a pitcher man?" Sorry, his name was originally the pitcher man. By the yeah. way,
oh, nice.
Yeah,
you want a pitcher man? Sure. Here you go, Gary. Here's my fucking pitcher man. You gonna give me a fucking raise this year? No, great fucking Gary. Here's pitcher man. Go sell it.
Oh, this is an all-time Lost Mad Men episode. I really need the Don Draper. He's called the pitcher man.
What is
I don't
he?
Have more of this pitch. I need to get it. I need to find it, but I don't have it.
They call Don Draper the pitcher man.
They do call him that. Yeah.
There's a poster
he's
underneath
with
this.
Sugar and it's red, but it's not blood. It's love.
But we're going to tell the kids that if the kids are naughty, that the pitcher man will be filled with their blood.
With their blood.
Uh-huh. And it'll come crashing.
It'll be served to people as a delicious sugar drink.
Do you think like the Kool-Aid Man has to like pay for these walls after he crashes? Like what is the? I know it's high energy, but like what are you trying to tell me with the Kool-Aid person crashing through a wall? Like is Kool-Aid Man? It's a positive thing, right? Like they're always having yeah. fun when he crashes.
I think
it's like
oh, I'm so thirsty. Yeah. I wish there was something to drink. And then yeah.
bam, bam.
Yeah. I'm sorry it's that cool. that had the like penthouse. This is, I can't believe it happened to me, mm-hmm. like cadence, but it really, you know, that's the way TV commercials were in the 70s and the 80s. Someone
okay.
just says, sets up the premise as loudly and directly as they can.
Yes. And you're either selling a product or telling the most fake erotic story you've ever heard in your life.
Exactly.
What?
Yes. Well, don't worry about it.
Okay,
Do you not know about the penthouse letters?
No.
Oh, boy. It's, I mean, so, like, in old episodes later? Of, like, penthouse or issues of
I never thought it would happen to me stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Hustler, like, all those, like, really yeah, filthy yeah. magazines used to have that shit. Like, people would send in letters about their various sexual escapades, but they were also very clearly being written by whatever scumbags were, you know, had been hired to write for that magazine at that time.
Yeah.
It was very
erotic fanfic. Yeah. Being like, or not fanfic, because it's not like character. I mean, it's fiction.
I can't believe it happened to me. The Kool-Aid man sucked me off. Yes, I busted through my wall and I busted through his.
Yeah. Okay, now again, like, you know, you want to indulge a little bit. You want to stretch out the details of how the Kool-Aid man came to wreck your shit. But
it was a sunny, you know, Wednesday afternoon and the heat dome was down and I was so parched.
Yeah, I mean, somebody has definitely done a Kool-Aid Man porn before, right?
Oh, no, there's nothing.
Hang on, I'm doing Kool-Aid Man Rule 32 right now.
Okay, I want to know who they would make Kool-Aid Man fuck. Like another person, another Kool-Aid, or some kind of other food mascot?
Another Kool-Aid.
Mr. Peanut, maybe.
Mr. Peanut.
I'm thinking like the Kool-Aid Man sex is more like, I'd go inside the Kool-Aid pitcher. Like, you know, it's like, that's the
perfect zone. You're 100% right. Like, I appreciate this.
You're going in. Oh my gosh. Just dip a toe in first. And like, oh, you like that Kool-Aid man? And like, I'm putting my whole body in. And then it's like, you know, my wife walks in.
All I'm going to say.
Is it time to add some pictures to the Discord?
All I would say is that it took two Google searches and I found Kool-Aid man's penis.
Nice. Is it also made of glass?
It has a little bit of a tentacular kind of quality to it. Sense. I don't really want to get into any further details.
Like a tentacle.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if the way I said it is right. It's just the way that my brain processed it.
Look, we have that period in the 90s where he got pants, right?
We all know it's for a reason.
Why that happened. And then the Kool-Aid man died.
What?
Yeah, I don't think Kool-Aid Man Jr. This could be Kool-Aid. This is like a Donkey Kong Jr., Donkey Kong III type thing, you know?
Yeah.
We're actually on the fifth Kool-Aid Man.
I mean, they have all these flavors. There are probably other flavors of Kool-Aid people.
No, like, but they don't do like the M&M's thing, right? Where there's like, oh, this is like the red M&M and this is the yellow one.
Well, we saw how that went for M&M's. A lot of controversy.
That's right. Kool-Aid Man.
They were too sexy and then they were unsexy.
The first archive of our own fanfic with Kool-Aid Man is with Tucker Carlson. So
Jesus fucking Christ.
This is the world we live in. There's no retreat
on that one.
Enemies to lovers, slow burn.
Nice.
I want out, man.
Honestly, two of the other ones are about UK pop stars. Any guesses who the Kool-Aid Man is crushing on? And
One Direction.
Sophie Ellis Bextor.
No, Spice to Girls. Either of those. But wait, was Harry Styles in One Direction?
I think
so.
Harry Styles is one, so I'll give you half points for that.
All right.
And there's another.
Harry Styles and...
Huge UK John Lennon. Guy, current pop star, maybe one of the biggest musicians in the world, and for reasons I don't quite understand. Ed Sheeran. Kool-Aid Man, Ed Sheeran.
Popular pairing. It's the redhead thing. That's the red thing.
Star of
Game
of Thrones.
Sense. That makes sense. Right.
Good on Kool-Aid
Man. All right, so like, who's plowing who?
I'm not going to click through. That's something the listeners can do on their own time.
God damn it, man.
I'm sorry, you know? Call me a tease.
I'm just going to say this, and I don't want to make Kool-Aid Man or Ed Sheeran upset, but I think
Kool-Aid... No, you can make Ed Sheeran upset.
I think Kool-Aid kind of sucks. Like, Kool-Aid...
I'm with you.
It's just sugar water.
Yeah, I never really enjoyed Kool-Aid. Like, it was not my drink, so...
No, I agree.
Now, High C, that's a fucking drink.
High C is a real drink for cool kids.
Capri Sun.
No, the cool kid ones. Oh, Capri Suns go hard. It's a drink in a bag. We love that. Also, the little barrels.
Yeah.
Only serve at daycare. It's basically Kool-Aid. It's not a good drink, but they come in tiny plastic barrels, so it's pretty fun. And then the ones that were good, because they were just like candy, were those plastic ones where you snap the top off and it looked kind of like a Coke bottle.
Oh, yeah.
With like a pacifier at the top.
Yeah. You could like suck the little juice out of the little top.
Oh, yeah, you're like chewing on
it all.
Oh, that's that good shit right there.
Yeah. Yes.
This is the problem with being an adult. Outside of drugs, there aren't enough little things that you get to do with like food and beverages. Do you know what? Like, you don't get to like tinker as you consume a thing.
They don't make eating fun for us anymore.
There's no tactile element.
To be toys. It's like now we just have what? Hard-boiled eggs?
Shut up, yeah. Come on.
Give me crab legs.
When did they invent that? Fucking hard-boiled eggs.
Post them.
Crab legs is a good one. You're like crack and open and move stuff. But
crab legs are messy.
This is the problem. When you were a kid, you were like, I'm gonna open up this leg and maybe.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I wanted gimmick foods like fruit by the foot. I wanted a thing that like sold with a gimmick. You know, that was
Big League Chew,
a ring pop. Yeah. It's Big League Chew. Yeah.
Do you know about fruit roll ups? What they've done?
Is it made of people?
Did they dry out Kool-Aid Man and roll up?
They roll him up. I was watching something. Someone mentioned fruit roll-ups. I was like, or fruit by the foot, or one of the other. And I was like, I want fruit roll-ups. I was like, I guess I'm gonna get fruit roll-ups. They can't stop me. I'm an adult. I have money. Yeah. I can go to the store. Brought them home. There's no shapes on them anymore. They're just flat. When I was a kid, yeah,
they were punched out.
Yeah. You punched out the little shapes. Yeah.
I think that I always thought that was like a certain era where it was like punch out shapes, and then they had like ones where you would like it had like basically ink on it, like edible ink that you would like put on your tongue.
I remember that.
Well, I don't remember
and
that.
Create little shapes on your tongue. It's sort of like how Trix is always like, we're going back to the balls, and now it's back to the shapes, and it's like every couple of years it's like
Trix is always like, we're going back to the balls, and that's why I love Trix.
Put it on the box. Don't care about that.
Trix is always ready to go back to the balls. It just, you know,
silly rabbit.
Real giver though. Real.
I just want to note again here, Kool-Aid Man, Ed Sheeran Part 2.
Okay.
By Kool-Aid Man 420 has a second pairing in it, and it is Kool-Aid Man / Capri Sun.
Nice. That's good. People not even a mascot wearing, on that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little Capri Sun packet.
Oh yeah, Capri Sun had like kids in those like newsy caps, right? Like they were just like cool kids holding Capri Suns posing with them. Like,
do you consider cool kids to be the ones from the cast of Newsy?
I did as a kid.
Well, of course. I mean, what other kind of cool kids would there be? I feel like I took pictures like with a Capri Sun and I put on this like, oh, it's like the Capri Sun cap, and like you have this like plastic probably vinyl jacket or like a Michael Jackson jacket with zippers or something.
What are you talking about?
Like a windbreaker?
I don't know the Newsy cap. I think Vinny has I think my real guess is Vinny saw art as a kid that he thought was a Newsy cap
imprinted,
but was actually just like a blur of yellow blonde hair or something, and has now lived your whole the way that like the way that I for a long time didn't understand that the D in Walt Disney, the Walt Disney logo, was a D, and thought it was a weird G, and that I didn't understand why it was not
Walt
called
Disney.
Walt Disney or Disney. Uh-huh. As a kid, I was like, that's not a D. That's not how you draw a D.
I mean, I just saw how you draw a D.
You sure did.
I Capri Suns are great until the straw bends, and like as you're trying to get it into the fucking couch, it's a nightmare.
But wasn't the okay? Here's my real question: do you think Capri Sun genuinely tasted better, or was it like the experience made you an easier judge? Because as a kid, I was like, Capri Sun tastes better than
I think
the
it
other
tastes
ones.
Better.
Okay,
I think Kool-Aid because it's a powder is it was always too thin.
Right.
It was always too like watery, whereas Capri Sun was like hard syrupy bullshit.
Mm-hmm. In a bag.
In a bag.
Like Capri Sun felt like if I got a Capri Sun pouch, it was usually from some kid that probably didn't like a family that I felt like had money. You know, like you have fucking Capri Suns. Like take two. Like we only get the high C boxes, right? The cardboard boxes, right? Get that like polymer pouch, like that space age pouch. You're like, shit, this is like space food. Like get these Capri Suns. That's I don't know. We didn't have Capri Suns in my house. We mostly had shit Kool-Aid. From what I remember, it's, you know, that and like we were a big soda house too. So we just had 2 liter bottles of Coke.
Yeah, same. I wish we hadn't been, but it was just like
it was there.
We were. Yeah.
I was definitely sodas. Like a kid of like grab the 2 liter bottle out of the fridge, chug it until it's like crushed in the middle, and then like put it back in there. And you know, we'd crush it also. You I don't know if people, maybe it was just my house, to keep the air out.
Oh, like no, smush. I do this. Yeah, you have to do that. It's gonna get flat.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but like that's what we
did. Feels true.
It's what we believe.
It feels right. Yeah. But boy, thinking back on that now, just shove a handful of Captain Crunch in my mouth and chug some Coca-Cola out of the bottle. It'd be like, I'm good. I ate. I don't know what you guys are having for dinner.
When I was like a kid in Texas, I would be outside in the heat playing with my friends. Then I'd run inside, chug a glass of whole milk.
Oh, man.
Jesus
Christ.
I was
built different back then.
That's good, though. That's good living.
That's clean living. Yeah
that's healthier than
it's
like
some
getting
kind
in
of
there.
Living.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think, Alex, you were the same way. You're like latchkey kid. You come home and you're making your own food and it's just a nightmare.
I learned how to make frozen pizzas before I learned how to do algebra.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Like,
I remember my favorite sandwich I would come home from school is I'd just open the cabinet, put a bunch of Lay's on white bread, and then put another layer of white bread on and just eat the sandwich.
Nice and dry. Like,
this is good.
This is just like a vile burlesque of what other countries think Americans eat like.
I literally just like come home, find me like surrounded in like white bread with Kraft cheese wrappers around me and like Lay's.
It's like a foreign parody.
Yeah. That's what we were. Listen, I grew up on Long Island. We were nothing if not true to the American dream, okay?
American nightmare.
It's good. I can't do that anymore.
If you put mayo on that sandwich, I feel like that would take it to all the way to the top.
Yum.
Yeah. That seems like too much work.
Yeah, and maybe some like turkey and lettuce and some lettuce. Sliced tomatoes.
Now we're talking.
Ruined a perfectly good potato chip sandwich. We were sugar cereals. We were Coca-Cola.
I will say my mom was a caffeine-free diet Pepsi drinker.
Okay.
Which meant that like I grew up drinking at least the least bad of the colas probably. But because of that, I did get an affinity for flat soda because it didn't really matter. That soda tasted bad already. So as a kid, I was like, oh, I'll just get a soda and just let it stay out for a while until it's flat.
The bubbles are what makes it so good.
I know this now.
Well, going down.
Yeah, it's great. I'm a big seltzer person now for this reason. Yeah. It feels great.
You want to hear something really vile?
Yes, please. Kick it up.
So when I used to go visit my grandparents in Virginia, there were like no other kids around because they lived in just absolute bumfuck nowhere, and there were like maybe 10 houses within like a square mile of kind of where they were. So but down the street there was this one family that had like three boys in it, and so like once they moved in, it became very apparent that it's like, well, Alex is gonna have to be friends with these kids because there's nothing else for him to do here. To be fair, they were nice enough kids, not a big deal. I got along with them okay. But when I would go over to their house occasionally to have dinner, the food was fine. I don't remember anything about that. But what I remember was that they had this drink that they would make for the kids that was one of those things that it's just like, this is what you do when you are a suburban American parent and you have absolutely no instruction on what you should actually be putting in your kids' mouths. Soda milk.
Oh, that's a thing. That's on TV.
Pepsi in milk.
Yeah, that's a thing. I've had it before. It's fine.
That doesn't sound good. Alex, I'm with you.
It is a thing. Abby's right.
It's a thing. If you've had Coke float, it's all it is. That's like what it tastes like, is like the remnants of a Coke float.
You're right, but there's just something a little bit unseemly about
it's
just those two things mixed together, like just literally pouring equal amounts into a glass.
I'm with you. It's fucked up. It's unnatural. But I've had it and it wasn't as bad as it sounds.
I didn't want to retch or anything, and I drank it and I was like, oh yeah, it's you know, I may do, but I told my parents about that and I was just like, you should not go to dinner there anymore.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, it wasn't presented to you like a quirky option.
It was the thing they served with dinner every night.
Not normal.
Did they drink
it
too?
The parents? I don't remember if the parents drank it, but the kids were all about it.
Yeah.
I have this like image of like, you know, very proper people being like, drink your soda milk, Alex. Go ahead, drink it. Drink your soda milk, Alex.
Could I just have water?
Good boy.
Doors lock.
Yeah.
I think there was like some TV show where the kid drank Pepsi and milk.
Oh.
Was it one of those like reality shows where they're judging the people who are doing that?
It was like Happy Days or something.
Oh, okay.
Like from that era of TV.
Sure.
Well, the other thing is there might be another side of the story, which is like the kids might not. What if the kids were like, we don't want to hang out with Alex? And the parents were like,
we know the perfect strategy, kiddo.
Yeah, if you hang out with this kid, we'll let you have soda milk for dinner. And they're like, yes, okay, worth it. No offense to you, Alex.
Why are you putting this back on me, man? Why is this
trying to say that they were pretending they liked it to scare Alex away?
Oh, that's also good.
Like, hey, we're going to serve this horrible thing and like just pretend that's what we have all the time. Like, we always have soda milk, Alex. Every time you come over, we can have it every single time.
We all float down here.
Now that I have kids, I do wonder when they like other kids come over if they're definitely like fucking like Max's dad's fucking weird. He drinks, you know, whatever. I, you know what?
What do you drink? What's
just
weird?
The most boring fucking people. We just water. That's it. Hibiscus tea.
This motherfucker's dad drinks water. Can you believe that shit? Yeah.
You're not allowed at their house again. You play with those kids.
They're anti-American.
We have definitely been asked, like, where's the soda and the pop? Or, I mean, they say soda around here. And I'm like, we should probably just have soda in the house. My wife is like, we're not having soda in the house. I'm like,
oh, but soda's so good.
Soda now makes my teeth. I don't drink much soda at all. It makes my teeth feel gritty.
Tooth socks.
The film.
What is that?
Tooth socks.
Is that a thing?
You drink like sugary shit, and it's like you got your teeth are wearing socks.
Is that what? Yeah, like that kind of. Yeah. I mean, listen,
that's good.
When I go to like a diner or a restaurant or something and nobody's looking, I will sneak a Coke in there.
That's proud,
the
place. Vinny.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like if you're not doing it at home, you're allowed to when you go out to the diner or the Pizza Hut. Or
if I went
you're
to a Burger King and got a meal,
anywhere.
I'm not going
to
get a water.
Yeah, it's a free country. You can drink soda anywhere you want.
I love soda.
I don't know if I do love soda anymore.
I do. And I'm going to be one of those old ladies who's like 105, who's like, what's your secret? And it's like six Dr. Peppers a day and a pack of cigarettes.
Right, and some Coke. Like, it's just just normal. One bump.
Not Coca-Cola, cocaine.
Yeah.
I am telling you, my grandparents subsisted, my mom's parents subsisted almost entirely on like fucking cream soda and root beer. Like, they did not drink, and alcohol. But like, they just had cases of the shit in their garage all the time. And anytime I went there, I was like, ooh, it's root beer time, because that's what they would serve me every time.
That was always wild to me. Like, going to a friend's house where the organization of something fundamental like groceries was just different in the way we just keep a bunch of extra stuff in the garage or in the basement. We just we stockpile.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not how I live.
No.
That's a country home thing, though, where you have like your kitchen. You have your kitchen refrigerator, which has like normal shit. Mm-hmm. Then you have the garage refrigerator, which is full of sodas. Mm-hmm. And then there's maybe like a basement fridge or
freezer.
Like one of those sort of, or freezer that's like a waste one.
Yeah.
It's just full of meat.
Meat. Freezer.
Your frozen meats.
I feel like there are people who have like a beer fridge. That's like,
Soda fridge.
Yeah. We grow up, it becomes the beer fridge.
It becomes the beer fridge. Yeah.
Look, it's carbonated. It counts.
Yeah. My grandparents had soda. But the weirdest thing my grandparents had, they had a deli slicer, and they would buy the hocks of like ham from
amazing.
The deli.
They'd get through that before it went bad?
Yeah. Every time we go over there, and they would, because they used to get mad that they would slice it too thick at the deli, and so they had a deli slicer. So I remember when I go to my grandparents, we get saltine crackers and like a little cup of soda and a devil dog. And then my grandfather would Devil Dog's like a little cake. It's like a little like a pastry.
Like a Hostess cake type.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
And we got a Devil Dog. And then my grandfather would have like literally the apron on, like slicing ham for like, it was like a tiny little kitchen in Queens slicing ham for sandwiches. And I thought that was super normal. Even to this day, I'm like, man, we should probably just get a fucking deli slicer.
I think you should. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, just slice up some meat. I wonder what happened to his deli slicer. Like somewhere in a junkyard somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Because somebody's gonna. There's a point at which for whatever reason it changes hands, and the person who gets it probably is like, I'm not gonna fucking use this deli slicer.
Never gonna use it. Yeah, and it's like, get rid of the deli slicer. You've had this thing. You're never gonna use this deli slicer. Yeah. Yeah,
I want to Google how much it costs to buy a deli slicer.
I mean, you can't get them like that anymore. Now they're all plastic. No, I don't know. Like,
deli slicer for home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can get a Chef's Choice premium meat slicer from Williams Sonoma for $149.95.
Hey, that's not cheap.
Quasenart one, $84.99.
Okay.
What? Okay.
That's not bad.
Okay, honestly, now
they have some shitty ones. Well, I presumably for $50 on Amazon.
Okay.
And then they have a $579 Homeline 200 meat slicer from Huckberry. Oh, there's a $6,000 one. I want that one.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, is that getting rid of humans? Like, what does that one do? Like,
I don't know. It just looks, it's at an angle.
Is it like super industrial?
Yeah.
It looks pretty industrial.
You just put a cow on it?
AXS13GA meat slicer. Axis heavy duty meat slicer. Automatic 13-inch carbon steel.
That sounds like too much. Like, that's
for your home.
So we're doing the $579 one.
Yeah, I want a scale too, so I can weigh the meat too.
For when you charge your family members.
Children
a label.
Like, and your daughter's like, "Can I have a sandwich?" It's like, "All right, but it's going to cost you."
I never understood
$9 in ham.
To put it in the bank, please. I never understood the like. I honest to God, never understood the like sliced it too. What does that even mean? You're slicing it too thick. You're not slicing it thin enough. Until I realized, like, oh, you've got to make this pound of ham. Right. Go through three kids, and like, if you get a pound of ham and it's three fucking slices, that's three sandwiches. If you get a pound of ham and they're like microscopic, atomically thin, and then you could like put them on a sandwich, then you're gonna go through with our three fucking like insatiable appetites enough sandwiches, and everybody's just gonna fill up on the bread. Who cares what's in the middle? Like, oh, I finally got it. I got it. Like, honestly, like 4 years ago, cheaper, it like occurred to me. Like,
I thought it was a texture thing.
That's what I was wondering for years until I had like kids and stuff, and was like, if I bought like a pound of ham, it's like gone unless they slice it super thin. And my kids don't fucking care how much ham is on the sandwich; they just want like a couple of slices of ham on the sandwich. Right. So yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just amazing to understand what your grandparents and parents went through. It's 40 years too late.
Yeah, you just don't know until you're in it like that, and then suddenly something makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Frustrations that they had or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. And like, you know, I still think 90% of the stuff they said was fucking bananas. But
right,
like,
yeah, right.
You know, the slicing the meat or the right way was okay.
I mean, that's the thing, is like those mundane things end up being the things that do still make sense sometimes, and it's the other stuff that's like, you know, it's like as a kid, your perspective on the world and money and everything else is so nonsensical, and like where you're like, you just spent $30 on gas, why can't you get me this $4 action figure? Like, that's less than the gas. I was like, all right, yeah, well, guess what, we wouldn't even gotten here without the gas, so. Right.
And but like that doesn't matter to you. Like that, no, but then like we don't get here. This G.I. Joe is the important thing. Like you don't get it.
The gas goes away. The G.I. Joe's forever.
Yeah, you're just gonna go drive to what, work? Like boring. The other thing my grandmother had, which maybe ahead of her time, she would religiously like pick plastic bags and stuff like out of trash and things like that to store the plastic bags. To use them again to like bring stuff around. And look at her. She's recycle and reuse. She's just like, she'd be like, oh my God, there's like, somebody just threw away that plastic bag and be like, pop.
You know? I found that like there's actually like, in my experience, either people who lived through the Great Depression or kids of people who lived through the Great Depression have a lot of that. Like, we're not throwing that away.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely not. We're going to get more use out of that. Like, yes. This is like a greasy, not even like a real container. This is like, this isn't the Chinese food container. This is the container that had like the orange sugar fluid.
Yes, for dipping your sweet and sour chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, this is gross. Yeah. You know, we're going to find a use. We'll find a use.
My parents are a bit like that, or definitely like that. And they would save every container that ever came with every takeout. And I'd be like, let's just go get you some nice Tupperware. And I'd be like, it's perfectly fine.
Does
like,
the job.
You know, you're not wrong. It is perfectly fine. Yeah. Now we have mountains of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have more containers than we have, you know, enough food to ever store in it. As soon as you throw it away, you're going to be like, do we have one of like a little plastic container? I could put some like paint or something in and be like, damn it, we just recycled all of it. Guess I'll 100%. Have to go buy something, you know?
Well, the other thing there too is the thing of, to go back to the other stuff of like going to someone's house where it's different. One was always like, oh, do you not have a drawer that has just a bunch of pens and receipts
and junk drawer?
And like the kids who, let me tell you, the kids who had Capri Suns, their kitchens did not have the junk drawers. They had like a separate room with an office where they kept important things. And the other one was like things that I didn't know my family did weird until friends came over. So I was like, oh, it's Monday night. We're going to get Chinese food, which is already like, well, why did you say that? That's not a, why is that a definite thing?
Everybody gets Monday.
Yeah. Right, and then like night of the week dinners.
Yeah. Well, and then I would go like, okay, do you want an egg bagel? And they'd be like, why did you, for Chinese food? What are you talking about? And that's just what my family did was,
wait, you got an egg bagel
bagels. As like a bread side during food.
100%. From the Chinese food place or like from the bagel place?
Separately, we had them on deck in the freezer.
Is an egg bagel just the same as like a bacon, egg, and cheese? Like what's the name?
No.
The bagel has egg in it. It's like almost like a potato bread. Like, it's literally not a potato bread, but you know how potato bread has a different taste?
Yeah.
An egg bagel is like a plain bagel, but a different flavor. And with, like, an egg bagel with butter, and then Chinese food, and then, you know, whatever, chicken and broccoli.
That's awesome. It was great.
Yeah, I don't do it now.
That's cool.
I could.
It's Monday.
It's egg bagel time.
It's 10 p.m. I'm not
there. Okay, well. Listen, you can get an egg bagel if you need.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm in New York.
Yeah. I don't think I've had an egg bagel. I don't think I've heard somebody say egg bagel in probably 30 years. I don't think. Do they still get one? I should. I used to really like them. I don't think. I have to check out if our bagel place. They must have them.
They got them. They got them. I'm sure.
I switched to like everything bagels like 25 years ago. Never went back.
I am now an everything bagel person, but sometimes if I'm like ordering from a nearby bagel place or whatever, I will say, hey, listen, if you don't have the everything, give me an egg. Give me an egg. I'm ready for it.
You know what's the most bullshit bagel? But I appreciate it, but it's the most bullshit bagel.
Oh, let's hear it.
Cinnamon raisin bagel.
Oh, fuck that bagel.
Whoa. Why are you coming for cinnamon raisin bagel?
It's cake.
I hate raisins.
Yeah, it's cake.
It's cake.
I just think it's because raisins are gross.
You think, oh my God.
I love raisins.
I cannot follow you down this path. I respect your right to hold these views.
I think cinnamon raisin, like, it's a delicious bagel. It's like it's crosses the line. You've gone into like some kind of dessert bread where you're like, we've taken it too far.
I mean, it kind of is, but I mean, a cinnamon raisin is a thing you can only eat with specific fruity cream cheeses. It is not a thing that you can eat, let's say, in a bacon, egg, and cheese, because if you did, you are a fucking
No. I'm not doing that. I'm a cinnamon raisin with butter, and that's it. Yeah. Like, I don't even want cream cheese. It's already too much.
But even then, it's like, just get a freaking cinnamon roll. That's already got the cream cheese. That's got the cinnamon. It's got the bread. If you're a little pervert, it might have some raisins,
too. That's too much.
It's just a delicious cinnamon treat.
It's a little laid back. It's a little more refined. It's
a little less icing.
A lesser version of a better thing.
Did you guys ever have just like cinnamon raisin bread? Like the loaf of bread.
Yeah, it's just full of freaking
raisins.
Also
cake.
What, like a babka or?
No. Sliced bread. You could put whatever you want. You could toast it, put some butter on it.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Just kind of butter bread.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
And that did sometimes have icing on it. Yeah. It's a cake. 100%.
But that's also not like a sandwich bread, really. But
No, that's a treat. That's a little treat for you.
No, look, you just get a couple of cinnamon rolls, you know, put them together, get some ham, some mayonnaise, some potato chips, just put them together.
Throw a handful of Captain Crunch on there. Yeah, you're
there
good.
There are people
you're good
who do like a
pour some soda milk on there.
A French toast sandwich, right?
Like, okay. I can see that working.
I've done that.
People do that, yeah.
I like a McGriddle, which has the syrupy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a period, so I don't do it quite as much anymore, but I used to go through phases where it's like, I am really into making this one kind of food. I also have primarily lived alone, so it's like, you buy this much food, and it's like, I have to eat it all, so I'm going to have this meal every day of the week. But I was eating a lot of my homemade McGriddle, which is, I would toast two waffles. I'd put them in the oven because I didn't have a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
I would make a over easy egg. I would also bacon.
Uh-huh.
I would put it on the waffles, but I would butter them with some syrup first.
Uh-huh.
I would put it all on the waffle. I would put some cheese on there and then just eat it. So that's having like one
amazing.
A day.
How are you like, that's good.
With like a Coke.
A cinnamon raisin bagel is too far.
It's fucked up. Raisins are gross, dude.
Raisins.
Why?
Are delicious. Raisins.
They're like
they're so good. They,
they're chewy daycare food.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Weird.
Yeah.
They're rotten. Just give me a grape.
Says the woman who was just lamenting the fact that we no longer have to like fucking bite caps off fake sugary root beer bottles and cannot enjoy the sweet sugary innards of that stuff anymore.
If you want a disgusting raisin, more power to you. But I know that they are gross.
I prefer a craisin. I like a craisin quite a bit.
Cranberries are disgusting.
Oh my God.
You have a UTI. Oh, wow. Fine.
We are dividing. We are creating a fucking Mason Dixon line of who's into dried fruit and
bitter
who's
stuff
not.
Is good.
Do you like prunes?
I'm not 150 years old, Vinny. Okay. I don't need a shit.
Not yet.
I'm regular as hell.
You keep drinking that Dr. Pepper, you'll get there.
Dr. Pepper has prunes in it. That's the taste.
Wait,
it does.
Does it really?
Yeah.
It does. That's prune soda. That's part of the flavor profile, is that it has some prune juice in it, I think.
That's great. I wish they would have called it prune soda. Imagine they were like prune soda for like 5 years. Like, Jerry, this just is not working.
It was Dr. Prune.
We can't just call this prune soda. Let's get the pitcher man in here to sell us on a new thing.
Dr. Pepper. Dr. Also, Pepper. While I'm going off on dried fruit, you know, it's disgusting. Dried mangoes.
You're just wrong. No, sweet and juicy.
Oh, it's so good.
We have two kids in this house. There are like bags of dried mango that I will tear into. That if you leave them out in the open, like it's a great snack to send with people. It's like fruit leather. It's delicious. It's nature's. Figured it out with that one.
Do not let my partner hear you start saying things like that, because you will bring down a thunder the likes of which you have never seen before.
I'm gonna say I didn't think I was gonna like it, and then you know it's sitting on the counter, and I'm like, man, I'm just hungry, and
like I want to chew on something for 5 minutes before I can swallow it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
We were just talking about fruit roll-ups.
Now those are again.
Big leak chew.
Yeah.
I take it back. Dr. Pepper, not actually made of prunes.
Oh
bummer.
A common myth. Snopes.com has proven me wrong again.
Snopes.
Pruning you wrong. Did what is in it?
Delicious sugar.
High fructose corn syrup.
Right. Despair.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hate a Dr. Pepper, by the way. Worse soda.
Oh what? God.
You what's well, okay? What's the?
I don't agree with that.
Wrong.
I'm lazy. Coke, best soda.
I mean, Coke's good.
Coke is the best soda.
Yeah,
I think it's up there. Honestly, yeah. I love Dr. Pepper. I think it kind of can't be beat, but Coke is just good with every meal.
Yeah, it's like
good with every meal.
Utility sodas, utility player.
You were doing your homemade McGriddles, where you also poured yourself a nice glass of Coke.
Absolutely, 100%. You know what I was probably doing? Separately, I was probably having a Coke and then a glass of milk.
There you go.
There you go. Together. Milk goes with the waffles.
Never the twain shall meet.
No.
Yeah.
What are your guys' favorite sodas?
Okay, so I might just have built this one up in my head, because I feel like whenever I actually have the opportunity to test this out, I'm always like, okay, maybe not. But when I was a kid, we had RC Cola in Virginia. And it, like when I moved to California, you couldn't get it anywhere anymore. And I think I built it up in my head. I was like, RC Cola is so much better than everything else. I wish I could get it out here, you know, ever. And then whenever I go back to Virginia, I would have it. I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Just tastes like Coke, doesn't it?
But I have this image in my head that RC Cola is somehow special or valuable over all these other colas. So I feel like it's like, it's a slightly different tasting Coke.
Right, right. I really like any sort of like cherry thing, like a cherry Coke more than a regular Coke.
Okay.
Or a black cherry soda is really good. Okay. And then I think my best like niche thing is birch beer. I like birch beer a lot. I probably wouldn't like it if I had it every day. Do you know what I mean? It probably would get to be too much, but it has like such a special place in my heart.
My favorite niche sodas, it's got to be Squirt.
Okay.
Squirt's so good. And then probably Vanilla Coke, which is more regional.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I love Vanilla Coke.
Vanilla Coke was great.
I'll get down with a 7-Up, but I can only do so much 7-Up.
7-Up's not niche.
Warm 7-Up. No, 7-Up is very mainstream. Who is 7-Up is Coke, right? And Sprite is Pepsi?
Other way.
Oh, it's the other way? Okay.
Yeah.
I like 7-Up.
Yeah, 7-Up, but I think warm 7-Up is worse than like a warm Coke or Pepsi.
I just realized something. I don't think I've seen 7-Up advertised in years.
I think it's done. I think they've replaced it.
I just bought 7-Up the other week.
Okay.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, because I went to Spain recently.
Okay, well,
and a lot of people think sangrias are what they drink, but really what they drink is lemon Fanta and red wine. So we did that with 7-Up, and it was pretty good.
Are you sure it was 7-Up? It wasn't some like, did you see the cool spot? Was the cool spot there?
I know that the 7-Up, it said the 7 and the up. I don't remember about the spots.
Okay.
I don't think it was red. I think it was a lot of yellow and green.
Also, it's called Siete Alto.
Yeah. Is that what you were having? Because that's not 7-Up. Maybe it's one of those like European things like Mexican Coke where it's like, oh, they only serve the good stuff.
Well, this I had in the States. I was trying to recreate my taste of Spain.
All right. I see.
Yeah, I had, it was the lemon Fanta.
I see.
I was just thinking about this because, like, there's fucking 7 Sprite ads for every person on the planet, and fucking, you know, like Sierra Mist and their current rebrand are always advertising on stuff. I can't. When did you last see a 7-Up commercial or ad anywhere?
This is the thing: is 7-Up is made by PepsiCo, and so is Starry, that new lemon.
The new Sierra Mist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that what that is? Is that
it's the rebrand of Sierra Mist.
Why so wait, Pepsi has Sierra Mist, 7-Up, and Starry. I guess they don't have Sierra Mist anymore. Is what you're telling me?
Yeah, I think so.
Sucks. But why would they make? Why do they have 7-Up and Starry? Why have both?
Corner of the market. Know.
I guess probably there's a chart somewhere, as always, that says the number line's still going up, and that if we got rid of it, that number line would go down, and those people would go drink Sprite instead of Starry, and so we got to get Starry into those people's hands, and then we can stop making 7-Up.
Alex, when we were in the office, Austin, you might remember this, Abby, you as well. I forgot we were all in the same office together. Yeah, all
we did.
Literally
we
in the same
really
office.
Went on a journey
together.
On that one.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, Austin was there. Wait, Abby, you worked there, too.
That's why we do this podcast.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that. What was the ginger ale? Who made the ginger ale that was in the refrigerator?
Oh, Canada Dry.
Canada Dry.
Oh, it was Canada Dry. Okay.
Yeah.
Totally. I like a Canada Dry ginger ale.
Me too.
I'll
love
get down with
ginger
that.
Ale.
Yeah.
When I worked at a movie theater, I would always have Canada Dry and then a little cup of popcorn. It was delicious.
That sounds all right.
Yeah. I also love
a bunch of crunch in the popcorn.
I also love a ginger ale that has like another flavor in it. A flavored ginger ale is very nice, like a cherry ginger ale or whatever. Seven Up is distributed by PepsiCo internationally, but it's made by Keurig Dr. Pepper. So 7-Up is another Dr. Pepper brand.
Is Dr. Pepper its own brand. Thing? I thought
Dr.
Pepper
Dr. Pepper's
was
top of the food chain?
Top Dr. Pepper, well, again, it's owned by Keurig, like
the coffee
Keurig
people.
Coffee people, yeah.
What? Uh-huh.
That's
they gotta make Dr. Pepper.
Keurig
pods.
Dr. Pepper is one company. Yes.
Keurig Dr. Pepper like joined forces at
that
some
is,
point.
I have a logo. It's a funny logo.
Uh-huh.
Show me.
They always are.
But it's like green for 7-Up, or I guess it's green for 7-Up, brown for coffee, and red for Dr. Pepper. There's kind of like three little splashes
awesome.
As the left side of the K for Keurig.
Someone made $800,000 designing
exactly,
this.
Exactly. 100%. Yes.
The pitcher man did it again. Uh-huh. Knocked it out of the park again. I did not know that. Man, companies are weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did not realize I thought Dr. Pepper was some like, you know, minor label under some other giant.
Well, to be clear, 33% of Keurig Dr. Pepper is owned by JAB Holding Company. JAB standing for John A. Ben Kaiser. And then 5.3% is owned by Mondelez International.
Uh-huh.
And this is how the world works, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Who owns that other, like, what did you say? That was 35%? So who owns the other, like, 65% of that thing?
Embracer Group.
It's not.
Actually, Raytheon.
Just enough to believe you.
Exactly. I bet it's own thing. I bet like they sustain the rest. They sustain 60% or whatever.
Okay.
But the company that has 33% of them also has stake in Cody, Pete's Coffee and Tea, Caribou Coffee, a bunch of different coffee companies, basically, which is like. Huh. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to get out there. I always want to just dip my fingers in a bunch of different coffee things. You know, I think coffee is going to be big. I'm going to get out there and kind of...
Bold proclamations from one Vinnie Caravella.
I want a little bit of a lot of coffee, you know?
Wait a second. Keurig Dr. Pepper also owns Snapple.
What?
Oh.
Snapple is them.
Is Snapple still a thing? Do they have a little trivia on the lids?
They do still make them. I still see them occasionally in convenience stores.
Very New York.
They brought back the Snapple Element drinks from when, like, the 90s.
I don't know
if y'all remember those.
I don't remember those.
Like, rain and fire and you don't remember these?
I remember
good.
I don't remember that. I was more of an Arizona iced tea
guy. Sure.
Yeah, I like the bottle seemed bigger. I always felt like I was getting a little more.
You've heard what that guy has said, right, about the dollar price?
Well, no.
That like his business people have come to him like, we have to raise the price of Arizona iced tea, and he's like, no, I won't do it. Like I will
wait, that feels like the same as the Costco guy.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah, it's the same
idea. Yeah.
I refuse. I will go out of business before we raise the price of an Arizona iced tea.
That seems to... Yeah, he says he vows to do it for as long as he can. He's talked about, like, they've come to him and been like, we have to do this. He quote, for as long as we can, we're going to hold our price. I tell people every day I go to a gunfight with Coke and Pepsi. I have a water gun and they have machine guns. And they have way, and the way I succeed is by doing things differently.
Yeah, I exploit my workers.
I mean, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. To some degree.
Yes.
You think they're like Arizona IC guy, bring a machine gun. You're going to get killed. That's water gun.
Hey, he's still here.
Yeah. He's still here. He's
the man here. Has been selling bigger bullets than the other ones, bigger cans, you know?
Yeah.
I know what drives our base. We taste good consistently, we look good consistently, and we're priced fairly consistently.
They do have a fine-looking bottle.
Mm-hmm. It's a big can.
It's a big can.
And they don't want to change the label that says 99 cents.
Exactly.
That's true. How much more would it cost there?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's all self-owned. Like, there is no other holding company. That is Arizona Iced Tea by Farolito Voltigaggio and Sons.
Well, start the clock now because it sounds like they're going to be going up for business in a little while here.
Yeah. I would say once the Suns take over, maybe that changes.
Yeah.
You have to promise me you'll never raise the price of this.
Yeah, sure, Dad. Whatever. Just sign the will, okay?
$4 Arizona iced tea.
That's right.
Better than ever.
Yeah, Arizona iced tea, that was pretty good. That used to be like my high school drink I would get.
Oh, yeah.
That feels like a thing for teens.
Yeah. Totally. When I was a dumbass teenager and I was skating around in like hot summer weather, like we'd go to fucking 7-Eleven, get a bunch of crack a bunch of those, fucking, you know, drink ourselves stupid and play Street Fighter, and then, you know, go home and that was life, man. That was it. That was the life. God,
fucking, we go to 7-Eleven. They're fucking kids. We go to 7-Eleven and get, do you remember the double gulp?
Yes.
Yeah. It was like a liter.
Like too much. Yes. Yeah.
It was, and it was like a carton. And we just go grab it. Do not do this. Don't judge me. But do we just grab
it? I'm going to judge you.
And we just fill that fucking thing up with candy bars and then just fucking pour soda on top of it. And then be like,
wait, that's it? That's what I'm supposed to be judging you for?
It's stealing.
You would buy the soda.
We would buy the soda, right. But it would, the whole thing would, because that fucking thing was like a shopping bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'd just be basically walking out of there and then picking wet candy bars out of our
stickiest wrappers you've ever opened in your life.
Why wouldn't you just do that with one of them and fill it with water? That way,
it's children.
Sticky. Because then you don't get the soda.
Because you want the soda. That's the point.
You're getting the
disgusting
soda.
We would also fill it with soda.
We'd also fill it with slushy. But then we weren't supposed to fill it with slushy. So we'd always be like, well, then you're gonna get comp because you're supposed to fill the slushy container with slushy, not the double gulp container.
Yeah.
Fucking double gulp. That's probably gone. They don't sell that thing anymore.
It's a little big gulp, I bet.
The big gulp. The that's double. A staple. Double gulp was just dumb. That was too much. Yeah, kids. Listen.
Kids.
Nope. Look, if you're not doing that, you're at least going up and down the fucking soda fountain and you are just adding a little of every soda into a gigantic cup.
Yes, absolutely was doing that. This is the thing. So, like, the thing you're describing, it is stealing. You shouldn't do it, probably. It is not really hurting the 7-Eleven bottom line as much as...
individuals. Who cares what 7-Eleven's bottom line?
I don't care. Well, that's what I'm saying. It definitely isn't hurting individuals. It's not. And I'm saying it's not even hitting the 7-Eleven bottom line.
I think that corporations can't be victims, so it's a victimless crime.
Well, and that's the thing. Is like I feel like the response to hearing that story, there are some people, not people who listen to this probably, but there are some people who are like, those kids are criminals.
They're criminals. We were criminals.
You know?
My mom worked at that 7-Eleven. If she caught us, we would have been A, criminals, B, in big, big trouble with all my friends. We never did when she was working there, though.
I just think that we, like, culturally need to dial back what the response to something like stealing candy bars is, you know?
So she'd definitely be my mom yelling at me and not prison time,
And not, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, but it's also, it's just deeply hypocritical because I'm pretty sure it is generally a rite of passage for most shitty teenagers to at least shoplift once, you know, whether it's something minor like a candy bar or something, you know, or...
Like a Porsche.
Yeah, or a Porsche, you know, whatever it needs to be, you know, like I do think there is a certain amount of we need to be teaching our children to at least know how to do minor crimes should it ever come up.
Yeah, or like I think you need to get caught by somebody who's not going to call the cops, right? And be like, look, you got you fucked up, you got caught, like you're in trouble.
You get it, right?
But you're not gonna ruin your life.
Yeah. The next time it might not be me who catches you.
Right. Yes. And then like
it might be someone who's trying to make a point and who's stupid, but is gonna like make your life hell.
And then in the beautiful story of that, in the imaginary American narrative of that, that kid went on to like run that company later, right, and is telling other people that, like, oh, you know, old Mr. Hammond caught me stealing a bar, but he saw something in me, and you know, I
and now there's
my
a
way
movie. Matt Damon's making the movie about this kid who then radicalized the company and changed the way it works.
Changed everything. And
now he steals the wages of his employees instead of, you know, the merchandise.
That's right.
That's right. Uh-huh. And definitely won't go to jail for that.
Wage theft is here to stay, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So 7-Elevens, they're still around, right?
They're still around. Yeah.
They're probably owned.
They're still a going concern.
I love 7-Eleven. Are you kidding me? Their marketing team is incredible. They have this t-shirt line that's like this. It's like cars of 7-Eleven. So it's just a bunch of cars parked in 7-Eleven is like the art on the t-shirt.
Really?
And the slogan is wear car.
Wait, what?
W-H-E-R-E-C-A-R question mark. Wear car.
I
love it.
This is real.
Wait, I don't even know. Sure, I understand.
I would love
wear
to have
car.
One. Wear car, Vinny.
Wear car.
What do you need to know? Wear car.
Oh, wear this car is going to haunt me.
At the 7-Eleven?
Wear car. They also had this jacket that was so sick that had like a big 7 on the back and the front and like all these pockets for no fucking reason. And I wish I didn't buy it and then it sold out and I wish I bought it. It was so cool.
Are these like fairly recent things?
I mean, you can buy it now.
Is wear car like
fresh merch pretty regularly? They have their hip to
the
market.
This is very fresh. You're right. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, this is sick.
Wear car.
Anything that captures the feeling of like hanging out in the 7-Eleven parking lot is good, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Cars of 7-Eleven, where car you?
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Look at this. That looks like a
shirt. Yeah.
That looks like a wear car.
Why would you make this?
Because it rules. Because we're talking about it on a podcast right now. That's free marketing. They know what they're doing.
It's got a real truck stop vibe shirt to
awesome.
It. Like you had to run into the truck stop because you have blood all over your shirt and need to just buy something. So you buy. Don't ask about the blood. You just did a costume change.
These all rip. This whole line is incredible.
It's so good.
Yeah,
so it's
like 7-Eleven Car Club, cars of 7-Eleven. Like this I'm all the way on board.
That I loved.
I really like that this car and this cars of 7-Eleven one you just sent is basically just a Honda CRX.
Yeah, dude.
Like not even a modified one. It's just like a fucking like stock ass fucking 1992 CRX.
That's pretty good. Yes. Yes.
Because that is a car you would see in a parking lot of a 7-Eleven. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah!
Like, they got a whole Pac-Man series of shirts.
Yeah. That jacket, Abby, is too much.
It's sick. It's awesome.
Oh, wow. You could do this, Abby. You could pull this jacket off.
That jacket was made to shoplift in a 7-Eleven.
Yes, it's full of little pockets. I'll show you the back, which just has more pockets.
There's these hoodies and jogger, like, sweatpants combos.
They're so good. They're so fresh.
This is so good.
What is this, Abby? What is this jacket you put? This is the most like cyberpunk fucking weird jacket
I've
ever
seen. Is it awesome?
It was $60,
and then for Black Friday went to $30, and it sold out. And I was like, no!
Can you describe what we're looking at for people who can't see it?
So it is like a hot orange jacket that like, it's like kind of a trenchy vibe.
Yeah.
And then it has four like red pockets, also has a red collar, four red pockets with snaps in the front. It also has a 7 kind of covering the whole torso in bright pink.
Those four ones are like on like the mid torso and low torso. They're not like top of chest pockets. They're mid and low, left and right.
And then you have little like bicep zipper pockets, bright pink also. And then on the back, you flip it over. You got three vertical snap pockets just right up the spine.
Like right down the spinal cord.
Yeah. Yes.
Isaac Clarke Dead Space pockets.
Yeah, but like not pockets on the back where like they're not zipper and the pockets inside the jacket. It's pouches just affixed to the back of this jacket.
These are the pouches that assassins use to store their various dusts.
Who is this? What are we?
What?
It might be the guy. It's like an influencer designed them.
Yeah, okay.
Kerwin Frost.
What is in the pockets?
Just 7-Eleven goods. You can get a 7-Eleven ice cream, etc.
Can you get the pants as well?
Yeah, the pants. Yeah, you can get the pants. I don't want the pants. The pants are too much.
The pants are a lot.
Shirt's incredible though. Pants also full of pockets.
This jacket definitely fell out of some like 90s movie that was supposed to take place in 2015. You know, like this is what people in the future are going to dress like.
Uh-huh.
And somebody's wearing like a clear cellophane tie on top of this, you know?
Yeah. That's why I want it. It's so sick, dude.
You know, you're not wrong.
The jacket
it's definitely
says 7
sick.
And the pants say 11.
Oh, the pants say 11.
They do, in fact, say
11. They do say 11.
Yes.
It's also, this jacket's way longer than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's like a trench.
Yeah. Oh, the green isn't bad. I like that.
It's tasteful.
Yeah.
Would you wear it if you had it?
It is full of taste.
Yes, Vinny, are you kidding me? I would look amazing in this.
What would you put in your back pockets?
Everything.
Like what?
I mean...
What happens when you sit?
I don't think I would actually probably use the pockets realistically.
Okay. All right, fine.
I mean, just want the look and the vibe.
It's just fashion.
It is fashion.
Exactly. I think a big part of it is the wig the guy is wearing, but I'm getting real TV psychic off the vibes on this dude.
Ooh,
like, this dude hangs out with Walter Mercado and Gary Spivey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right. I'm going to have to add, can I add these pictures to the post, or is that just advertising for the 7-Eleven? Are we just shilling 7-Eleven?
We've been talking about this for how long? We advertised already. That ship has sailed, Vinny.
There was a 7-Eleven on my corner, and that's that's just
you
where
should
I
go
was
in and be like, yeah, we did a little advertisement for you, a little free advertisement on the podcast.
Where's my polyester clothing?
Wear a car.
Like when I was growing up, there was one down the block from me. It was 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was where we parked. And it had a little place next to the cars. We'd park our bicycles, and that's where we'd hang out.
Exactly.
There, totally.
Everyone's got their local 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. Where's the first place you go to when you go to Japan? 7-Eleven. Mm. It's amazing. We love 7-Eleven.
Are there a lot of 7-Elevens like all over the world?
Probably.
Were there any?
I know they're very they're very prominent in Japan. I don't know about elsewhere.
I bet there are a bunch of places.
Well, thank you very much, Abby Russell.
Thank you, Vinny Caravella.
Appreciate it. Thanks for making another fine podcast, crafting it, home crafted. Mm-hmm. Austin Walker, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate
always
it as well.
Can I plug a thing? I don't.
Of
plug
course, always, anytime.
Speaking of science fiction. Actually, I just started a new podcast with the folks over at Range Touch. Michael Lutz and Cameron Kunzelman were doing the Book of the New Sun as part of a new show called Shelved by Genre, which is a genre fiction podcast. We're starting with Book of the New Sun, which is a kind of science fiction, science fantasy series by Gene Wolfe. And then we'll do other stuff across all of the weird spaces of genre fiction, which is to say fantasy and crime and romance and westerns and everything else that falls on everything that isn't quote unquote literary fiction is genre fiction, which we think is, you know, a pretty cool subset of things. And so it's kind of like a book club. So
that's awesome.
Genre.
I want to join.
If you want guests for westerns, I love westerns. Ooh, my favorite book is Lonesome Dove. Ooh, it's good.
Okay.
Where can people find this podcast? Is it just out there?
Everywhere. You can do a search for Shelved by Genre and find it. Range Touch is the name of the network. There's a Patreon to support Range Touch. I do get paid for it, even though I'm not like a core Range Touch member. It's kind of like a guest show for me, but I'm really enjoying it so far. We have 3 episodes in the can, 2 are out, and our bonus-odes for it, our bonus like Patreon backer things, are a bunch of 70s, 80s, and 90s like B-movie fantasy things. So like we watched what is the name of the artist, the animator, who makes really horny animated movies?
Ralph Bakshi.
We watched The Bakshi, Lord of the Rings.
Wow, you were on it.
Thank you.
I know my horny cartoonist.
You know you're a horny cartoonist, thank you. And then we're watching Conan the Barbarian next, and then I think we're doing Kroll after that.
Oh my gosh.
We're on
Kroll.
A fucking roll right now. So,
okay.
Kroll.
You know, very, very deep book club conversations. And then we're like, yo, look at that guy with a sword. Look at the glaive.
Thank you. Yes.
It's a glaive. I know.
Yeah. All right. Let me know when you get to Kroll the Conqueror.
One day maybe we'll suffer through it.
Congratulations on starting a new podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I needed. One more podcast.
Damn right. Never enough.
That's right. This is it, though. This is the last one. I saw them shut the podcast door after you made this one.
Yeah, the police said no more, or else we're bringing you in.
That's right. Alex Navarro, good luck with your move.
Thank you.
I know we have one more podcast, speaking of which, many, many podcasts, one more tomorrow, but by the time people hear this, you will probably be moved. So
I will be in a house, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck with everything. I hope it is painless, and safe travels to you as you... Leave
I also
New York
hope this.
To, yeah, yeah, yes. yeah. And your stuff is in the house as it's expected to be come the move. So best of luck there. Thanks, everybody, for listening out there. appreciate it. And thanks for supporting us. And thanks again to all our guests. And thanks again for your time. Appreciate that as well. You're all very busy. Tune in next month. We'll be back with Never Been a Better Podcast. See ya.